A Clear Channel Worldwide Station.
KISQ,
San Francisco,
Oakland,
San Jose.
Welcome to Childhood Matters.
Presented by Literacy Works.
Childhood Matters on 98.1 KISS FM.
For parents and everyone else who cares for or about kids.
Here's your host, Rona Renner.
Good morning and welcome to Childhood Matters. I'm Nurse Rona and I'll be here every Sunday at 9 a.m. to present important topics to parents, grandparents, foster parents, child care providers, big sisters, big brothers, and anyone who cares for and about children. There are many factors that affect how we raise our kids. There's temperament, there's parenting style, life circumstances, whether you have money or you don't have money, and culture. These are all important. How we were raised and our culture are key ingredients in how we pass on our values to our children. When it comes to parenting, there are many different ways to raise children. It's not one size fits all. But some people have a narrow view because they don't understand other cultures. For example, I've heard people criticize parents who let their children sleep with them at age 3 or 4. And yet in many cultures, children sleep with their parents or with siblings with no obvious developmental consequences, and sometimes with a more secure child as an outcome. Another example is discipline. Parents from different cultures tell me that they use physical punishment because it's what their parents did. And yet I know people who have had the very painful situation of having their child removed from the home because of discipline methods that are not acceptable by law here in the United States, such as using a belt on a child. Now, there are many wonderful things to teach children about their heritage, and yet parents have to make hard decisions about whether to follow their culture or to break away from some of the traditions. And this should be based on what they think is best for their child. It's not simple. It's a complex subject. Today, as always, we want to hear from you. Call us with your questions, your concerns, and your opinions. How does culture affect how you raise your child? Are you ever confused about what to follow and what to move away from? And how do you pass on your cultural values? The phone lines are open, toll-free, 1-877-372-KIDS. That's 877-372-KIDS or at 1-888-3-KISS-FM. Joining us in the studio is Marta Cueva. She's a parent educator, she's a radio host, and a director of the Bay Area Hispano Institute for Advancement, BAIA. This is where she runs a bilingual after-school program. She has 25 years of experience working for the Latino community, with the Latino community, as an educator and advocate, and she also teaches child development to Spanish-speaking child care providers. Marta, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for inviting me, Rona.
So when you had a baby about 20 years ago, he had parents from different cultures.
Yes.
And were you worried that you might not be able to raise him with your traditions?
Not at all, because I was brought up in a very safe, sound environment. My values and my culture was so strong, and even though I was in a different culture, in a different country, I'd had already experienced in 5 years the importance of maintaining one's culture and values. So I wanted to do that with my own son.
And there was no two ways about it. You were going to do it, right?
No way.
Now, you work a lot with parents who are often trying to blend into the American culture, and yet sometimes they pay a price, don't
right.
they? What's that like for some parents?
Actually, as you were doing your introduction, I've heard you saying about the confusion. And I think that is the biggest price they pay, that they're confused. They feel because they're living in this country, they have to assimilate or not just become Americans, but they want to do everything like Americans to fit in. And I think it's the part that is paying the price. They're losing their values, their culture, and then they lose the connection with their children. Communication is a loss at that moment. They're allowing them to speak only English because they're afraid that they're not going to speak the language. And therefore, that connection that you have with your child is lost.
So these are the kinds of things we'll continue to talk about. They're very important questions. Mm-hmm. Americans. Our other guest is Larry Swimmer, the chair of the Native American Health Center in Oakland. He's the member of the Lakota Oita American Indian people. He was born and raised on the Cheyenne River Reservation in South Dakota. Larry Swimmer and his wife, Sandy, are parents to, I think, 8 children. I'll let him correct me if I'm wrong here. He's the chair of the Foster Care Association in Alameda County, and he's also a member of the healing and advocacy community known as the Willow Lodge. Larry Swimmer, thank you for joining us.
Oh, hello, yeah. Just a correction. I'm the co-chair of the INCFA, Native Foster Care Association.
Thank you, Larry, and thanks for joining us this morning. Tell us a little bit from your culture, from the Lakota culture. What are some of the guiding principles in raising children?
Just as you had introduced me, one of the key things is teaching your children, you know, their identity and the entity as far as who they are. And that's done by, you know, identifying yourself as being from the Cheyenne River Reservation and from the Lakota Oyate. And there are 3 Oyates, as we call them. You have Nakota, Dakota, and Lakota. And as you teach your child, you know, they're going to know that, well, in our house, we're Lakota, so we follow the Lakota ways. They also will know of their bands. I'm Minikoju Sanzark in Onkapapi, and my wife is from the Pine Ridge Reservation, and she's Oglala, and she's also of the Lakota Oyate. So.
And what's important in child rearing? Can you give us like one key thing of a philosophy about what it means to raise a child?
Well, the child themselves, from a Lakota perspective, they're a gift. They're gifts to us from God, and so they're a child from the time they're born. You know, have someone around for them all the time. It gets harder when you live in the urban areas. But in the traditional areas, you have, you know, there's someone there, a relative, you know. They're taught, you know, you have a clan system where you have, you know, brothers, sisters, uncles, aunts, and, you know, all of your father's brothers or your uncle, you know, uncles and...
So there are lots of relatives. Like Marta was saying also, she had many children in her upbringing. And there's always like an older sister, a brother who's going to help take care of you, or an uncle or an aunt. There's a real sense of community, yes?
Yes, yes. And that's true. It's very important, you know, to, you know, from a perspective as that child is developing. Because children go through, you know, stages of understanding, and just because one may be 6 years old or 9 years old, you know, does that mean they're thinking at that level? You know, they go through a series of stages of understanding, and so as you listen and you watch a child, you know, and you're mentoring them and you're showing them different things. They're watching all the time and they're listening always.
That's right. And that's how children learn. They learn from the other people in their life. In a few minutes, we'll continue this conversation about how things are different from different cultures. And thank you for that, Larry. And I'd like to hear more in a few minutes about that. We want to hear from you here, too. As you're listening to this, think about your culture. What is it about the way you were raised based on culture that affects how you raise your child? Our number is 1-877-372-KIDS. And it may have to do with sleeping, eating, discipline, or just an overall philosophy of what it means to be a parent. So joining us by phone also is Beatrice Leva. She's a bilingual, bicultural Chicana mother of 3 children, and she's also a grandmother. Good morning, Beatrice.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us so early in the morning.
Thank you for having me.
So in your life, what's been important to you regarding your culture and raising your children?
I think it's what becomes really important is the home that you have and how you create a family within your home. And I think for many of us, it's also how we model that with our children. It's not only what they're observing us, but on how we conduct ourselves, but also how we demonstrate to them what it means to have family, what it means to have a home, and how what the role children have in the family, how precious they are, how nurtured they are, how cared for they are in terms of their physical and their emotional and their spiritual self.
So do you think as a Chicana that you've raised your child differently than you see other people, you know, who may go to school with your children? Do you see some specific differences?
I don't know. It's like a shading differences. It grades differently for everyone because it's how centered you are in terms of your own identity as a Latino. And what that means. And many things can influence that. It can influence the racism that you've experienced or that your parents have had, and also by the cultural identity experiences that you've had. Many times people don't want to relate to being who they are because their parents have had or they've had traumatic experiences around being cultural, being Latino, being dark, being speaking with an accent. And they don't want that for their children. So many times we're scarred by those experiences, and it reflects in terms of the things we choose to do and how we raise our children.
And I think, Marta, you and Beatrice work together.
We do.
You do.
And she's our executive director of Bahia Inc.
Yes. And so I'm wondering from you too, Marta, when parents come to you who go to your schools, what do they say they have problems with? What kinds of issues are they facing?
Well, I think is what they're trying to do is to overcome and forget a little bit about how they were raised when you were talking about physical punishment, corporal punishment. I think is they're trying to stay away from it, and they're really thirsty for learning. They want to know how to be better parents, how to do better with their children.
And Beatrice, is this something that you work on at your agency?
We do in ways that, in terms of parent workshops, one-to-one parenting conferences. We also have a trained therapist that works with parents and children. I think it's individual, you know, and I think what many parents come to our program is because this is a place where they can be within their culture, within a community. And there's another group of parents who want to have more of that. They didn't have that when they were younger, and they want to be part of that.
And if people want to find out more about your agency, Beatrice, how can they do that?
They can call us. The name of the organization is the Bay Area Hispano Institute for Advancement, and we operate 2 bilingual child care centers, and they can call us at 510-525-1463.
And one last thing for you as a grandmother. Are things different now, helping to raise your grandchild?
It's different in that, I am constantly amazed at the parenting of my daughter. I'm watching her model the skills, you know. It's emotional for
yes.
me. She's beautiful, and we just speak Spanish to her. That's one of the things that, you know, I did with both my children, speaking only Spanish to them. When they're younger, so that they get infused with who they are and our family and what our identity is.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
And for the work you do. We'll start taking some calls. We have Mary in Alameda. You're on Childhood Matters. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Mary.
Hi.
What would you like to add to this conversation?
I would just like to add, like, I'm of the Afro-American race.
Uh-huh.
And it's just a sad thing that they passed a law where they take away the right for you to chastise your child with a belt.
Uh-huh.
And among the black race, it seems like since that has taken effect, that the black race has increased in crime and is a little bit more in control of the house than the parents.
Uh-huh. So you're saying to me, because this is a very important subject, you're saying that it's your experience that since there's been a pressure for African-American parents not to use corporal punishment, you think it's been increasing the crime?
I do really believe so, because uh-huh. those who wasn't basically used with corporal punishment, they were the ones that I seem to see were out of control, where you saw the travel path that they were going to of crime, mm-hmm. life.
You know, Mary, let me respond to this, because this comes up all the time when I teach my classes. And there are a couple of key things here. One is, in my experience, in where I teach in Richmond, most parents still use corporal punishment. It's still the number one form of discipline. People feel more uncomfortable about it because there are more laws about it. But in fact, it's still the number one reason, you know, how people punish their children. And I had a wonderful man explain something to me one day, that he realized that he was raised in the South and he was raised to use corporal punishment because he had to really get his kids frightened enough. You know, he had to be frightened to behave. You know, it was really important he behave well because of the racism and because of the oppression coming on him. And his family, being African American in the South, being black, you know, they had to behave well. So the corporal punishment was really important, he said then. And what he's realized is, because he's a nice big man, he could use his voice and he could use talking to his child and not use corporal punishment. And she would listen. What he felt was there were too many people who were ignoring their children. And I think the people who use corporal punishment, at least they're saying, I care, and I want you to listen to me. And I think he was saying that he thought the crime was coming in part, and the problems were coming with too many people who were not caring enough about disciplining their children, even though there are other ways to discipline.
Well, I do agree, but those, you know, it always a pro and con on everything.
That's right.
But the other thing I want to say is, you know, it always to the point where it's one out of love, then one is out of abuse. And no matter which kind of punishment you give your child will know which one it is and out of love and which one we use. I just know amongst the black race, there's a big fear now of trying to correct the child on the base of what they have been taught and trained. And yes, there is times where majority of black race, I might can say, that they don't have enough time with their child. I do agree.
Right.
But at
right.
the same time, what alternative do they have to make it the balance?
Well, this is a great question. I mean, you're asking the right question. And this is why I teach the classes I do. And they're free and anyone can come in Richmond, because there are ways to make sure that you raise a child, keeping them on the path that you want them on. And you can do it in a way that shows you're serious and that you care without actually hurting them. Let's ask our guests here what they think. Martha?
And I can agree more with her, but I also feel that we need to change the patterns. And I think as the time progresses, and we also have to realize that we're in a new millennium. I'm reflecting back to 25 years ago when I started teaching, and 10 years ago, and the children that we have nowadays, they're being exposed to so many other different things that what worked for us 10 years ago may not work now. And I think is we need to be assertive with our children. We need to give alternatives, and we also need to be firm. We have to be firm in order to get that relationship of respect that we want from our children. And of course, we're not going to be just saying, I'm giving you warnings. Mean what you say, but don't hit, because then what's going to happen? You're role modeling for them.
Let's ask Larry Swimmer, because I think that Mary brought up a question that's on everyone's mind, and different traditions in different cultures do deal with discipline different, and we want to learn from each other.
Right.
So Larry Swimmer, from the Native American culture, from your Lakota Indian people, do they use corporal punishment when dealing with children's misbehavior?
Well, you know, I can't really speak for other ones. I just know as a Lakota, we're responsible for our own families.
Uh-huh.
And that's where, it's at. And then, but culturally, no, you don't hit your child. I mean, the child is respected in the sense that they're guided in a way that, as I say, children are always listening and watching. And when they see the appropriate behaviors, they're rewarded in a sense and given responsibility. And it might be just, taking a glass of water to your grandma, And when they do that, you can say, this one is really has a good heart, and you know, she's giving water to her grandma while all the other kids around are watching and observe this. And there may be some that are acting out and having issues or problems. Sometimes you observe those, and you've got to have a structure and, you know, have a consistent way of dealing with things. But you can use, I guess you could call it, it's like a peer pressure. Sometimes if a child is acting up, you may not pay attention to them. You're watching them, make sure they don't hurt themselves or anything. But, you know, you wait until they calm down.
Uh-huh.
And what happens is they see that it, you know, when they approach with respect and they're appropriate, they get whatever, you know, if they want something, whatever, you know. Uh-huh, this is, you know, they're acting appropriately. You listen, you can hear them now. But if they're not acting appropriately, you know, they're reminded by their actions or by a non-action, I guess, that there's something not quite right. So they have to figure it out, and they do very quickly.
Well, you know, Larry, you're bringing up something that I think, Mary, is important, too, is that it does take time. If you're going to use other forms of discipline, it is a lot longer. It's quicker to use corporal punishment. It's quicker to hit your child because it sort of takes care of it quickly. But I think there are other ways. And I wonder, Mary, do you still have young children?
Yes, I do. And the thing about it is, I think the mistake is here is not to the point where you always hit a child immediately. It's
yeah.
always a warning. It's other methods. It
uh-huh.
gets to the point of maybe it's a continuing of reminder asking the child that it gets to the point of where corporal punishment. I don't think the family that does corporal punishment just immediately responds to corporal punishment for every little wrongdoing.
And that varies.
And that is not the case.
Yeah.
The case is, you know, when I was raised, and mm-hmm. I'm from a family of nine,
mm-hmm.
and all of us are doing fine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I look at a lot of other families where, like you said, in the black race, where the non-corporal punishment wasn't. And I'm telling you, some of us got whippings in our household where we all got in trouble for
yeah.
one person who did the wrong. And all of us love our mom and our dad. We
yeah.
don't have any regrets or anything. We talk about it. We laugh about it. We, you know, we remember the pain and all like that. But we knew it was out of love.
That's right.
So
well,
you can abuse someone,
yes.
whether it's corporal or, you know,
verbally. Verbally,
you know,
too.
So I
yeah.
think it's really when the point is really determining which one is what you're applying to. Is it the love or is it being abused?
You know, because children love their parents no matter what. They have
right.
a deep love for their parents, Mary. And I know that your parents probably did the very best they could in raising you, just as I have with my children. What I've learned is that if my husband came over and hit me, he'd be out the door. You know, it's unacceptable to touch me that way. And that's why I stopped using any corporal punishment, is I decided that I wanted my children to learn how to resolve problems without using force, without hurting someone. And I made a very personal decision that I never want to be hit, and therefore I never want to hit someone. And I think every family has to make that decision. There are good parents who use corporal punishment. There are parents who are not so hot, who never use corporal punishment. So that doesn't decide whether you're a good parent. I think everyone needs to stop and think, what do I want to teach my child?
And that's my thing. And I think, but since they got it to the point where you're going to say no corporal punishment will cause a problem for you. And those who are doing corporal punishment just got to the point where, you know, they're taking the chance of saying, I don't care if I lose you as my child.
Right. And that we don't. And that's right. That happens too much.
And that's how they've got. But you got some parents that fear more of a fear because they know really deep down in their heart where they are in their life and their child in their life, that what would benefit them,
yes.
you know, and what would take that point. But I want to say also, it's just bizarre how you say corporal punishment is a crime, and it is in the past. I remember when we was in high school, and you had principals who did corporal punishment on you. You had the thing
That's
called
right.
the paddle.
That's right.
You know?
That's
and,
right. You
and,
remember.
And it's so bizarre how all of a sudden, and if you really think, or if maybe someone does a study, just right. to kind of see what the ratio is now, those who were actually during the days where corporal punishment wasn't a problem, what's the ratio of those that have been in and out of jail or where they are?
Well, there are studies like that. And I have to tell you that the studies show that people who had, you know, severe corporal punishment, usually wind up having more problems. Now, I'm not saying
severe.
Everyone.
No, that's not what I'm saying. Severe. I agree
yeah.
on that. But
okay,
I'm
good.
Saying, in regards to those who were actually corrected out of love.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
I know there's a difference. I want you to understand what I'm saying here. There is quite a difference. Just like even if corporal punishment was against the law, it's still to the point where you have things of life where verbal or things you just don't do for a child will harm.
Mary, I agree with you that it has a lot to do with the attitude and the love. And I'd like to send you a book, actually, that has some studies in it. It's called When Anger Hurts Your Kids. And I think what you're saying is you want to come from a place where you're not being angry, where you're actually loving your child and doing the best you can. And I'd like you to talk to our producer so we can send you that book. And I appreciate Mary's call. I think this raises the subject that we all have on our minds. So in a moment, we'll take your call.
Get involved.
Give us a call at 1-877-372-KIDS.
Or 1-888-3-KISS-FM.
Childhood matters.
Because KISS cares.
I believe the children are our future.
More with Rona Renner.
On 98.1 KISS-FM.
After this.
Months we've been bringing important information to people who care about kids. You can hear all of the previous shows on our website at childhoodmatters.org. And now there's another good reason to visit our website. We're conducting a survey of our listeners. The survey is about your experience of Childhood Matters. We want to hear from you, and we'll send you an appreciation gift for participating. The survey is our way of learning about you, your ideas, and opinions. We want feedback about the radio show and the website so we can continue to meet your needs. It takes only about 5 minutes to fill out, and it'll be a big help to us. We are offering a choice from several gifts. ChildhoodMatters.org is a starting place for information about parenting issues. We always post next week's topic on our homepage. You can also download an audio file from any past show so you never have to miss out. On ChildhoodMatters.org, you can also see information about the California First Five Commission's free parenting kit for new parents. So be sure to visit ChildhoodMatters.org, the website for the Childhood Matters radio show. Fill out our listener's survey and choose your free gift. Offer good while supplies last.
During early childhood, the human brain is capable of astonishing feats of learning. That's why United Way of the Bay Area is investing in Success by Six, which focuses on helping young children enter kindergarten ready to learn. With your help, we can teach children to love reading and improve the quality of their childcare. For every dollar you invest today, the Bay Area community will save $7 in special education, welfare, and prison costs in the future. Plus, whatever you contribute, your gift will be doubled thanks to a matching gift from the Miriam and Peter Haas Fund. Give to the United Way of the Bay Area today on the web at uwba.org and help our kids have a brighter tomorrow.
Children need a helping hand. Children need a promised land. Let the children feel again that love is alive.
You're
listening to
Childhood Matters.
Brought to you in part by Every Child Counts. First 5, Alameda County.
Childhood Matters on 98.1 KISS FM.
We're talking with Marta Cueva, and she's with the Baha'i Bilingual After School Program in Berkeley, and Larry Swimmer. He's from the Native American Health Center in Oakland. And we're talking with you about cultural differences in raising children. There's a line open at 1-877-372-KIDS or at 1-888-3-KISS-FM. You know, sometimes we go out into the community and Childhood Matters gets voices from people in the community about raising children, about children's temperament, about discipline. People feel very differently about these subjects, and we want to hear your opinions. Let's listen to what some parents had to say.
So, may I have your name, Ritu? Is it Ritu?
Yeah, it's Ritu, R-I-T-U.
Ritu. And how many children do you have, and what are their ages?
One. He's 2.5.
2.5. What kind of child is he? Is he active, or is he kind of shy and quiet?
He's very active.
And is he intense? Does he cry real loudly and have emotional reactions? Or is he kind of placid and gets along okay?
Sometimes he's fine, but sometimes he throws the tantrums. Uh-huh. So that time it becomes very hard to control him.
How do you attempt to discipline him when he has a tantrum?
I give him time out for 5 minutes in the bathroom.
In the bathroom?
Yeah.
Okay. So in case he has to go to the bathroom, he's right there.
Yeah.
good. And this seems to work okay?
Yeah, sometimes. And sometimes he revolts, yeah. He's
okay, that's good. That's good. Thank you very much, Ritu. Patty, how many children do you have, and how old are they?
I have one daughter, and she's 5 going on 15.
That's very funny. What do you mean by that?
She thinks she's 15 years old. You know, she says she's a big girl, and then when it comes time to doing simple 5-year-old things, she's a baby.
I get it.
When it's convenient to her, she's 15.
That's very funny. What kind of a child is she? Is she like active or quiet?
She's very outgoing. She's very bossy, just like I was. That's the problem.
And do you have occasion to what kind of discipline do you use with her?
Time out, mostly. She gets a 5-minute or a 2-minute time out, depending on what, you know, her action was.
And what you need.
And what I need, right. And that seems to be working okay so far. I don't know if that's going to continue to work, because as she grows up, you know, is a timeout still going to be effective, or, you know, what my other options are.
We're still at the Tri-Valley Health Center, and we're talking to Noel. Okay. How old are your kids, and how many do you have?
I have 2 children, and they are 5 and 3.
And what kind of children are they? Are they similar? Are they different? Outgoing or sort of like introverted?
Basically, they are outgoing. Both of them are always clashing with each other. And we're having a hard time dealing with that. Usually, when they play, usually the toys, they take each other's toys. And then we having a hard time to deal with this. So basically, we separate them for a while, and that's why we're here.
And that's why we're here, because children are all different. Where we come from is different. How we were raised. There are so many factors. And I think what's really important is that we step back as a parent and think, what is it I want to teach my child? Marta Cueva, you deal with these questions all the time. Any wisdom here for us?
Well, first of all, I would like to add this. I think there's no school. There's no career for parenting. So far, we have every single career in the world, but to become a parent. And I think the school we have taken is our parents or grandparents or people that are around in our community. And as a child care provider, as an educator, and as a parent, what I do is I try to impact the families that are either in our care or that I can touch by telling them, let's do an eclectic learning. Try to take the best of your parents or grandparents or people that have role model for you, and try to do that with your children and go listen to your heart. I think is we cannot say it's just because in my home was done this way, it has to continue this way.
That's right. And I think what Mary was saying, who called before too, is that right. What she knows most important for her upbringing and for her kids is that it has to come from a place of love. Right. And that is what we want to teach, is really being able to look at children as precious.
Yeah.
We're going to take a call from Mel in Oakland. You're on Childhood Matters. Good morning.
Hi, how you doing?
Hi, thanks for joining the conversation.
Oh, yes. I was listening to the program and I took interest right away.
What's your point of view, Mel?
Okay, my point of view is my parents, my grandparents, my aunt, my uncle, they were always there. So we got the quality love. We got the quality time. We were also taught about God. And I think when you have all of that, it will make you and help you set limitations.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, they call it corporal punishment, but I don't think it is, because in the Bible it says don't spare the rod. Okay, what about parental abuse? They holler about child abuse. What about parental abuse? Now, a lot of kids nowadays abuse the parents, okay? They don't know which way to go, how to discipline them or whatever. Now, when you raise your voice and you holler at them, that got our attention as well.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and so a lot, it depends on the child, though.
It does depend on the child. Some kids, you could just look at them and they'll listen to you, right?
Right.
Yeah, now, and some kids need something much more firm.
Thank you. Now,
I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
And you said the key thing. You said time.
Yes.
I think, you know, Mel, that's one of the pieces that's missing is, mm-hmm. is people don't have enough time to figure out what their kids need.
Right. And what to do about it, you know. And if they're more spiritual and, let me see, we used to go to vacation Bible school, all of that. Okay, so that helped us tremendously because it helped us to set limitations. Okay, nowadays I see most of the young kids and stuff, that one-parent homes, the father's not around, the mom's not around, drugs are in the home. It's also what you do in front of your kids. And what
exactly.
You, allow to come in that home.
They learn by what you do.
That's right.
And I think if, you know, you mentioned parental abuse. I think that's the parent's issue. If a parent starts setting limits and shows respect to the child at a young age, the child will learn respect to the parent. And so we have to continue to remind people that early on, those early years, how you are there for your child is going to make all the difference in the world. And then you don't need to use, I don't think you need to use that rod. I think you can really then know that if you stay with your child, most of the time, the discipline you use is going to work.
That's right. So, and then also, they have to respect themselves. The parent has to respect themselves.
Good.
Okay, if they respect themselves, that child's going to respect them. Now, we were raised to say yes, sir, and yes, ma'am to my grandmother, my grandfather.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and this is a thing that they don't do. They don't respect the elders. They'll step on their feet on the bus. They'll smoke weed in front of them.
That's right. And why is that? Why is that, Mel? Because we didn't take the time to raise them in a way, I think, that is staying connected to the kids.
Exactly.
Also, there are other pressures. You see, you could be a great parent, but you may have your child being influenced by a very strange culture that we have right now.
That's for sure.
And so I think that's part of it, too.
And so they have to instill that in that child.
Yes.
To say, hey, don't go that route.
That's right.
And then what you choose is going to, you know, bring on the consequences.
I really appreciate your points. And we have a book today called Keeping the Traditions, a Multicultural Resource by Phyllis J. Perry. And it's about different countries and their different cultural beliefs. Would you like a copy of that?
Sure, I'd appreciate it.
Thank you. We'll send that to you. And thanks for your call. Larry Swimmer, if you're on the line there, I think that, again, from your tradition, there's such a strong feeling about children learn by what they see. And so I assume you agree with Mel on this, correct?
Yes, I do. One of the key things I look at is the fact that, you know, you can the respect is taught. Well, is learned, I guess, by the child by observing.
Yes.
One of the things that we do in our culture is we, especially in the urban areas, and as we, there's a gatherings we call powwows. And these powwows are a place, you know, where you represent your tribe. But you also, you know, there's a spiritual context in the sense of, you know, as a dancer, if you're a traditional dancer, you know, you're praying and dancing for your people. And so a child, as they're looking and they want to be a dancer, you explain to them, you know, what's involved, and that they're representing, you know, their people, their tribe, their family, their nation. And so, in a sense, they become diplomats. And so when they have regalia on, you're going to find that, you know, they're very respectful. They're,
mm-hmm.
they conduct themselves accordingly.
Yes.
And they do not run around. You know, they shake hands with their elders. They're very polite. They're, mm-hmm. you know, they're very respectful of things around them. They're always watching things around them. They're very observant.
So, Larry, I think you're mentioning something that I think is key here, is that there are high expectations, and they're based also on children learning culture and tradition. So I think that's an important piece. Thank you for that, Larry.
Childhood Matters on 98.1 KISS FM.
Join in the conversation at 1-877-372-KIDS.
Or 1-888-3-KISS-FM.
Joining this conversation is Marilyn St. Germain. She's the acting executive director of the Indigenous Nations, a child and family agency serving the San Francisco Bay Area. Marilyn is of the Blackfeet and Cree tribes of Montana. Hello, Marilyn.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining this conversation. When it comes to raising children, what do you see as some of the challenges for the people you work with?
Some of the things I think that we really try to stress to families and to the outer community is that all these children, you know, come to us, and sometimes they come to us at young ages, but they come with a lot of little baggage that they've had, depending on what's gone on in their lives. And I do think that, in my experience, children need to be connected. You know, if they end up living in the families that the parents can get their lives together, that's really nice, and to have the connection to that foster family. But it's also very, very important to have a connection to their birth family. Sometimes when children get to about teenage years, they start, you know, really looking at their identity. And I think it's so important for them to see where they come from and let them make the choice.
Now, the families you work with, are you looking to have parents, Native American parents, become foster parents?
Yes, yes, that's what we do. And our real goal is to hopefully try and get families back together. And because sometimes of lifestyles and the law, you know, there's lengths of time that you can have your children in the system. Sometimes parents aren't able to get it together, so they end up staying with these families who become their families.
And it sounds to me like one of the issues that you deal with is trying to help people who are foster parents to Native American children keep the tradition up. And what do you ask people to do?
Well, I think many of our families are very connected to the Indian community, so that they do attend the powwows that Larry was talking about. And sometimes people travel back to their home areas to attend spiritual ceremonies, visit families, and then go to other things that are going on in the community, not just powwows, but, you know, different programs, different activities that go on. Like on Thursday nights at Intertribal Friendship House, Gilbert Blacksmith runs a dance group for the young children in the area, and they can come in there and learn to dance the traditional ways for both young men and young women.
So are you, when you have children who need foster care or adoption, you will take parents of any nationality, is that right?
Well, it's gotten to the point where we have to, at this point. Foster homes for anybody is very, very hard to get anymore. I don't know if it's the regulations. mm-hmm. just some of the things that come up, but it's for all people. I find it very hard to get foster parents, and for many Indian parents, it's very hard because of space issues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, children have to have a certain space, and people may have homes but may not have the space that's required by the system to take in other children.
So if there's someone there who's listening now and who wants to be a foster parent, how would they reach you? How would they get more information?
They would be calling 510-645-1430, and that's Indigenous Nations Child and Family Agency in Oakland.
Thank you so much for that information, Marilyn, and for the work you do.
Thank you.
And Larry Swimmer, I know you've taken in foster children. And just very briefly, I know there was a child who they said wasn't going to make it too well and wasn't going to do well. How did you turn things around for that baby?
Our little one was just nurtured in a family environment. It's with a lot of these kids that you get. They may come with, as Marilyn has said, a lot of baggage. Some of them come drug exposed, and so you have to work through that. There's a process. The kids themselves will withdraw, in 90 days or so, but they have to be held all the time.
And that was the one thing I remember you telling me, and I think this is the point I wanted to make, that you held that baby and you kept that baby close to your heart for a long, long time. And then when the social worker came, they were so surprised that this was the child they had brought to you.
Right. Yeah, the prognosis that when we first got her was, she would be, retarded or and would need help the rest of her life. And right now, if you looked at her today, she's a normal, healthy, young lady coming up and an excellent, fancy shawl dancer.
Thank you, Larry. And in a moment, we'll take your call.
Pick up the phone and be heard.
Call now at 1-877-372-KIDS.
Or 1-888-3-KISS-FM.
Childhood matters.
Because KISS cares.
Thanks for my child.
Your thoughts and opinions are coming up.
On 98.1 KISS-FM.
Here is this week's Childhood Matters calendar with events for parents and kids. In Lafayette today, the first annual Birth and Baby Fair from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Presented by the Nurture Center, the fair offers product exhibits and presentations of local resources for pregnancy, birth, breastfeeding, and babies. For information, call 925-283-1246. That's 925-283-1246. See The Emperor's New Clothes in Mountain View, Thursday evening, July 3 at 6:30 p.m. A children's classic performed by the Peninsula Youth Theater. Free performance at the outdoor stage at the Mountain View Center for Performing Arts. For information, call 650-903-6000. That's 650-903-6000. Next Friday is July 4, and there are celebrations all around the Bay. Ardenwood Historic Farm in Fremont has brass bands, wagon rides, and train rides, and contests. Bring a picnic. For information, call 510-796-0663. That's 510-796-0663. All-day celebrations ending in fireworks at Oakland's Jack London Square, in San Francisco at Ghirardelli Square, in Livermore at Robertson Park, and on Main Street in Suisun City. And there are parades, a parade through downtown Vallejo, a big old Berkeley parade at the Berkeley Marina, and an old-fashioned hometown parade at Crab Cove in Alameda. Also next weekend, county fairs start in Marin and Alameda counties. The Alameda County Fair starts Saturday at 10 a.m. in Pleasanton. The Marin County Fair starts Sunday at 11 a.m. at the Civic Center in San Rafael. Look real closely at creeping and crawling things at the Children's Discovery Museum in San Jose next Saturday, July 5. Special presentation for younger children at 1:30 and 3:30 p.m. For information, call 408-298-5437. That's 408-298-5437. That's this week's Childhood Matters calendar.
We continue with Childhood Matters
on 98.1 KISS FM.
Brought to you in part by First 5 Santa Clara County.
Here's Rona Renner.
This is the last week that you can help us with our Childhood Matters survey. Go online to childhoodmatters.org so we can learn more about you and find out the topics you want to hear about. For your help, we'll send you an appreciation gift. So give us your feedback, and we'll continue to bring you relevant parenting information here on Childhood Matters. You know, sometimes we go out into the community. Here's some more voices from the community about raising children.
We're talking to who?
Lori Dutra.
So you have a child of 14 months?
Yes, sir.
And what kind of child is it? Is it an active child or a quiet child? Or what kind of child would you say this is?
Extremely active.
Tell me what this child does. This 14-month-old kid, what does he do?
He runs around. He gets into everything, touches everything. He's at the hitting stage.
Hitting stage?
Mm-hmm. Grabbing your mouth, pulling your hair, everything.
How do you discipline him?
Well, I just tell him, no, that hurts. Don't do that.
And you take his hands away?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Sounds good.
You like him?
I love him.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Beautiful.
Yes, I'm sure. Nice to talk to you.
My name is Shidesh Adram.
How many children do you have, and what are their ages?
I have one child, boy, and he's 10 years old.
Oh, and what kind of a child is he? Is he active or quiet or what?
A little between active and quiet, but he's really awfully shy for his age.
And what do you do for a shy child?
Well, I have got him into doing some Taekwondo classes, and he's in baseball, so I'm thinking that maybe getting him involved in sports will help a little bit boost his self-confidence.
That sounds like a good idea to me. Yeah. Do you have any behavior problems with this boy?
I do not. No, I don't.
Congratulations. Okay, you sound like a wonderful mother.
Vicky Trucios.
And may I ask your name?
Lydia.
Lydia?
Mm-hmm.
What a nice name. How old are you?
5.
And what kind of child are you? Are you a real active child or are you kind of shy?
I'm kind of shy.
How many friends do you have?
5.
5 friends. Are they both boys and girls or are they all girls?
Boys and girls.
What school do you go to?
Our Lady of the Rosary.
Oh, you like that school?
Yes.
Do you agree with your child that she's a little bit shy?
Yes, she is. She's shy.
Does she have any behavior problems that you know of?
Yes, she does have some.
Can you say them?
She's a little bit spoiled. So.
Well, what behavior does that lead to?
Tantrums. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that type of thing.
So do sometimes you say, I don't want to do this?
Sometimes I whine a lot.
You whine? And what does your mother do?
Spank my butt.
She spanks you. That's your technique, to spank your baby?
Well, no, I talk to her, and then if she doesn't stop, then I have to.
A last resort.
Yes.
Well, good. Congratulations. She seems like a wonderful girl.
Being a parent is really something. There are so many different kinds of kids and so many ways to handle who they are. Marta Cueva, some last advice for us on raising children.
I'm so happy to see that we can all agree and values and principles are the main thing about our different cultures and how are we surviving here. And so all I can say is please try to include your children in your daily chores. Have them be part of what you do at home. And you're doing two things. You're spending time with your child, but you're preparing them for the future. They will be self-sufficient. They'll make it to college and won't have to come home and have mommy do the chores.
So in your culture, you weren't raised that way.
It's not taught. So that's why I'm
hoping. It was mama's job, right?
Exactly. It was mama will cook, mama will do the laundry and do everything. And I think it's important that we include them. And it's not a punishment. It's rather something that we can do together as a family.
Marta Cueva, thank you so much for your help.
It was a pleasure.
And I know the work you do is really important, both teaching parents and working with kids. And Larry Swimmer, Larry, one last quick word about raising children.
You've got to love. I love that child unconditionally. You know, as a foster parent, and I have 3 kids of my own. I had 5 foster kids, but I have adopted 3 of them and are in the process of working the other 2, and you have to love them. I always ask foster parents as we're recruiting, as you know, or potential foster parents, is why do you want to do this? With all the ramifications and dealing with children and all this, you know, why do you want to do it? And some, you know, if I hear, well, I love kids and I want to be able to help them, I want to be able to, you know,
do something, stand for the kids. I say, okay.
We'll end the show with the word love, and because we love him, we want to care for him, and we'll do the best we can. Thank you, Larry Swimmer, and my gratitude to our producers, Hillary Flynn and Peter B. Collins, to Nate, the KISS engineer at the controls, to the director of communications, Mick Renner, and to my children, Pei, Mara, Matt, and Karina. My gratitude to you, to the listeners of Childhood Matters. This is Rona saying goodbye until next week, and remember, spend time with your children and don't forget to take care of yourself. Childhood matters, and so do you.
You've been listening to Childhood Matters,
produced by Collins Media Services and presented by Literacy Works.
To find out more, log on childhoodmatters.org.
Join us again next Sunday morning at 9 for Childhood Matters. And now, please give your kids a big kiss.